Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello.
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me.
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
'Cause there's something down there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Swampy's Red Rebel Radio. It's just us two and the Clipper Card Kid, and he'll be joining us shortly. And this week, he's going to be talking to us about the 100 bus, which goes all the way from Shude Hill to Warrington.
You know, to be honest, Ben, I've been considering this. I thought, you know, let's bring something new to the table, something new to the show. And I thought it was a good idea.
It is a good idea.
But the thing is now, the show's not even, 2 minutes on, and you're already discussing what Berkey's going to be doing and Berkey's new Clipper Card show. I don't ask for much. I've been doing all this right. Show. I'm trying to support you, Ben, these hardened times. A show which has been going out for over 10 years now, probably somewhere in that region, about 10 years, different forms and guises. And all you can talk about is the Clipper Card Kid.
All right, Swamp.
I mean, you've not even got me a tombola.
All right, Swamp it.
Timetable tombola. I think of all the funny things.
Right, non-essential. Oh, hang on. I was about to go on a rant about non-essential shops being closed, but I'm pretty sure you can get a decent tombola from B&M Bargains. Pretty sure. But anyway, Swamp it, what would you like to talk about then? Go on, you've got 10 minutes before we have the Clipper Card Kid come on. What would you like to talk about?
I mean, 10 minutes. The show's half an hour. I get 10 minutes. He gets 20.
No, he gets 10 minutes in the middle, and then you get 10 minutes at the end.
Doesn't work that way, Ben. I noticed last week. I mean, I love Berkey being on the show, and I think the show actually should be extended when we've got other things to talk about.
Can I tell you what, though, dear listener? Last week, right, the recording was about an hour and 10 minutes. What did Berkey call me on a private chat? A radio alchemist. It was sensational, that edit last week. I should send that to someone like TalkSport or something.
No, you could if you wanted to, but I've realised. I'm looking at... I mean, these are the notes, Ben. These are the notes for this week's show.
Okay.
Absolutely blank.
Oh, again?
You used to inspire me, and that's why I got inspired paper. I mean, and these were the notes. I mean, if anyone listened to the Dave Chadwick wonderful... Wonderful hour. One full hour with Dave Chadwick.
No. It was 51 minutes.
First part of that show was all games that had no commentary. Miraculously, somehow, we zoomed back in time to make sure we were there.
No, can
look at all my notes. Dear listener, listen to this. What I've done, because you get some poetic license when basically you're doing... A commentary on a game that happened in 2005.
Just to say that in that first season, there was no commentary with the TV. All we've got is just the noise from the crowd and obviously the pictures, but the pictures don't work on radio. So all we've got is the crowd noise. So I said to Swampy, this is where we were in the game. This is what happened. Swampy, can you put some commentary over it? Swampy did a brilliant job, but he still got beef. Swampy, what's your beef?
I haven't got beef.
Vegan beef. Vegan beef.
I'm annoyed because relentless pressure here now from United. Chaddy's camped out in the Cheadle penalty area. He's been there all afternoon, it seems. Carden floats the ball over. It goes on. It's wonderful. Chaddy scores. What a great goal. This is a player who could become an FC United legend. He's only been here 2 minutes. And to think...
Can I explain why it happened?
I know,
but that's...
And you cut it.
No, I didn't cut it. What I had was...
You did, listen to it.
Right, here's the problem. I had the crowd noise, and then I had your commentary. Your commentary was too long for the crowd noise. So unless I sped you up, like, Chippendale or something from the Rescue Rangers, it would be very, very tricky to fit...
Chippendale from the Rescue Rangers?
The pair of them. The chipmunks, right?
Chipmunks? We have chipmunks here in the local forest.
I could have sped you up to fit you in with the crowd noise, but it wouldn't have made any sense.
Well, what you could have done, Ben, you could have extended the crowd noise.
How would I have done that?
You're clever enough. Surely you can... Listen, you can splice, copy and splice and paste. Don't use terms like splice.
What the hell does splice mean?
When I worked in the music industry, when I was in the music business... Many years ago, back in the 80s, the Manchester era,
yeah.
We used to have a reel-to-reel, mm-hmm. Okay? Reel-to-reel and a DAT machine. And you could, what you would do is, basically, you get your reel-to-reel and you would splice a little bit off. You get yourself a razor, and you'd slice a little bit of the tape away, and then you sellotape it, and then basically you bring it together.
You just reminded me of something. One of the problems with it was Cheadle Town Away, which was obviously one of Chaddy's most famous goals. And it's the fact they play that stupid...
What
am I supposed to do?
You're genius. You could have got rid of that, couldn't you?
Well, no, because it happened. I'm not alternate.
A lot of these happen, but you can edit things still, can't you? No?
I thought the commentary was good anyway, Swamp. I think you did a very good job.
I'm not denying it was excellent. I'm not denying that, Ben. I think you're right. I think it was absolutely fantastic, in fairness. And I've actually, just to see how good I actually am, I've been re-watching Bring Your Own Ball.
Oh!
Bloody hell, I'm brilliant on that show. And I've got three less chins.
Yeah, so just to say, there's no FC Legends this past weekend because couldn't get anyone. The diary is
wrong. Well, no, Ben, let's be honest. What you do is you rely on my little notebook.
Yeah, your notebook of contacts. Yeah.
With famous celebrities' names. Now, I can give you the celebrities, but also, for the purpose of that show, you need players. And I couldn't come up with one player for you, so you decided to not bother every weekend off. I've been suggesting people for Ben to interview,
yep.
And he's come up with things like, well, it's dead hard because there's not many things you can talk to a goalkeeper about because there's not many clips.
No, what I said was, because obviously Sam Ashton's come up, and I said, I'm probably going to, that's a lot of work, so I'm going to leave that towards the end. I am going to get Sam Ashton, but...
I want to see the likes of an interview with... James Spencer, that would be a good one. He's a very funny gentleman. He played over 100 times for FC United and Manchester. I'm sure you could maybe. And what I would suggest you do is you contact several players and you have little snippets. Like, you know, we don't do the full programme, but, you know.
We're going to do something like that later.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're saying now. Well, I'm going out on the airwaves, but you have to do something like that. That's what I'm saying.
There's certain players who I've got a glorious history with FC United, but it's for a short moment in time, isn't it? It's like they played 20-odd games or 30 games. Roger respects those players. You can't really put them in a whole show, but you can splice them. You could splice them all together with other such players and create a nice little show. And you could centre it like... We said this last week, didn't we, about... Oh, we were talking about...
Yeah, well, we might have been. But, I mean, again, you probably had that conversation with Berkey. Because I don't reckon what we call it in any way, shape, or form on your special new show and your best pal Berkey from Hyde. He's not even an FC fan. I don't even know why I bother bringing him on. and the next thing is, when you introduce him, you'll have his own music, won't it? That's what the next step, isn't it? Give Berkey his own music. And then before you know it, I've been pushed out, I've gone, and it's the Berkey and Ben show. It sounds better, doesn't it? The Berkey and Ben show.
Hello, Berkey. Oh, hello. Hello. Oh, hello.
Hello, Ben. You're all right, yeah, great, innit? Yeah, all that kind of nonsense.
Oh, really wished he'd answer his phone at that point, but he didn't. Never mind.
Did he not? Well, you did say 10 past 2, and it's already 20 past now.
I did, yeah. Well, it's now time to welcome back a dear old friend to the show. It's the Clipper Card Kid, everyone. Hello, Berkey.
Get him off, rubbish.
Berkey, we've got a slight problem this week, Berkey, in the fact...
Get your own show.
Apparently... someone feels threatened by the success of the recent incarnation of Red Rebel Radio Bearing in mind, this all was Swampy's idea, everyone at home. But
all the best ideas come back to bite me on the arse. That's the problem. I've had two text messages this week from the one listener we have saying he's bloody brilliant. More Berkey, less Swampy. I'm like, right. And that's my biggest fan.
Well, I'm very sorry, Swampy. I mean, I can't help it that more people are into buses than you. Ben, Berker. You know, like on the first show,
yes,
you said, "Oh, welcome to the Clipper Card Kid," yes, and all that. And yes, I said, "Well, Clipper Cards have been they were phased out about 10 years ago." Well, I was wrong. It turns out they were phased out in 2004. They started in 1979, so they were around for a full 25 years, full quarter of a century. And then, for whatever reason, yeah, they binned them off.
Well, what do you mean for whatever reason? What do you mean for whatever reason? We know what the reasons were. It was easily jibbable with a Clipper Card, wasn't it? Everyone knows this. Yeah. So,
well, in all fairness, it was jibbable, but that is because of the Conservative Party, because the bloody Tories. Because
what
did Clipper Card? Your Clipper Card. You couldn't get away with your Clipper Card if there was a conductor on. If there used to be a conductor and a driver, there's no way you could jib it because the conductor would have you. But because of Conservative Party policy, one-person bus, they help kill the Clipper Card.
Berke, we've got you on this week to talk a bit of a wild card one, this one. I kind of panicked last week when Swampy said we need a tombola. I didn't have a tombola to hand, funnily enough. So I just came up with a bus route that I know goes outside Greater Manchester. And that takes us to the 100 bus, which goes from Shude Hill all the way to Warrington.
Yes, all the way indeed, Ben. It's 1 hour and 50 minutes. So it's one for the purists, this, I'd say. However,
right, well, I've got a couple of questions, Berkey. I'd like to know which stand on Shude Hill it goes from, please, first and foremost, so we can get this right.
I don't know that. You need to get this into your head, Swampy. I'm not a bus nerd. I am not a bus splatter. I am not a bus enthusiast. I just like sitting on the bus.
I'm looking out the window. Yeah.
But the thing is, Berkey, I need to know where to get it from. Because in that case, there's no point, or I won't be sitting on the bus.
Well, if I was you, Swampy, and I went down to Shude Hill, I'd head straight for Stand K.
Stand K, yes. In fact, as we record this show, there's a bus leaving in 2 minutes from Stand K. I've got the live departure board in front of me. The 100 bus. But it only goes as far as Cadishead.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, very good point there, Ben. Thank you. We do need to say it's a route which runs hourly from Shude Hill all the way through to Warrington. But there are two shorter versions of it, one which runs to Cadishead just outside Earlham, and another one which only goes as far as the Trafford Centre there every 20 minutes, those.
Now, Berke, just a little special mention, Berke, for Shude Hill, one of the newer bus stations in Greater Manchester. What's your thoughts on Shude Hill as a destination to depart from?
Shude Hill, it's like Manchester's version of Trafalgar Square. You go in there and it is just caked in pigeons.
Oh, I see.
If you're a potential Manchester tourist who's listening to this show for tourist tips for when COVID finishes and you can come to Manchester and you can go, oh, I once listened to a podcast talking about how glorious Manchester is, we should go to their version of Trafalgar Square, Shude Hill bus station. Just to be clear, it's only to do with pigeons. There's no Nelson's Column or anything like that.
No, it's mainly buses and the odd National Express coach. But the thing is, you go there, Ben and Swampy, and the powers that be don't want anything to do with pigeons. These are revolutionary pigeons, these, because you look at the sides above all the doors and the windows, it's full of spikes and these garrotting wires for catching all the pigeons on, so they can't nest or settle or sit down or do anything. So what happens is, all the pigeons, they flutter down and they're just running around the place. And the lovely birds, they're very friendly. And people feed them the crisps and scraps and stuff like that. And they've got a very sustainable population.
Berkey, with so many of these wonderful pigeons around, I mean, is it fair to say there may be a possibility of actually travelling all the way to Warrington with at least one or two pigeons on board?
Well, I've never seen it myself.
However,
no, I haven't, but I'm sure it's doable. You know,
I've seen on the underground,
The thing is, no, the thing is, Swampy, with pigeons, they can fly. So they can just go there themselves. They don't need to get
can
on the bus.
Can I tell you, can I tell you, Swampy Berkey, can I tell you an actual true story about a pigeon? Genuinely true, this, genuinely true. I was getting a train from Piccadilly to Stockport train station, and I was sitting there waiting to leave, and then a pigeon just hopped on the train. The door shut, and he stood there. We went through Leven Zoom, we went through Heaton Chapel. As soon as we got to Stockport, he jumped off. And I thought, who was that pigeon in a previous life? Because that's another level of intelligence, that. He didn't even pay, by the way, either. He was a gibber pigeon.
He was probably for the inner-city gibber pigeons. But no, I've seen it many occasions.
It's true. Now, Ben, your travelling pigeon there, did it occur to you that it might have been a homing pigeon, a racing pigeon that was actually cheating?
I
was having a bit of a rest.
Are you suggesting, Berkey, I should have reported it to the authorities? Is that what you're suggesting? Because I was just thinking about the ticket violation. I wasn't considering that he was a sports cheat. Anyway, Berkey, 100 bus. The first stop is Victoria Station, is it? It's Victoria Station. I mean, what else can you say? It then goes down Deansgate, takes a right, and then goes on to Chapel Street, Berkey, which... is there anything we can say about Chapel Street that hasn't already been said on other tourist podcasts?
Well, I've not heard all of them. However, one thing I can say is that I'm sure that Chapel Street has a special place in the heart of Swampy's heart in particular, because, of course, it's where the Working Class History Museum is. Also, you've got the Crescent Pub, or the old Crescent Pub. It's not there anymore. Well, it's closed its doors, I should say. The building's still there, which is where Marx and Engels used to hang about. And much more importantly than that, is you've got the courts there a little bit further down Chapel Street towards Manchester, which is where many a Coronation Street wedding has taken place, including the one of Kirk and Beth.
Round the corner, though, as well.
Oh!
The old Vimto is round the corner from Chapel Street, isn't it?
£1.49. Oh, well, not bad, considering it's imported, really, I suppose.
Well, don't talk about imports. That's it, the shop's closed down.
Oh, joking. I had to bring you some over if I can get it through customs.
I've got an idea. You've just come up with a perfect idea. And I've just realised what we're going to do. Get four pigeons, a couple of carrier bags each for the pigeons, stick them on your old star, and they'll just straight there. They'll get off at Garda Midi, straight through customs. Boom, there you go. Deliver the Vimto.
What I should say at this juncture is,
You'll
recall from our previous bus episodes where when we went on the 184, I said it holds a very special place in my heart because of a couple of things that happened up in Upper Mill. Same with the 199 when we went to Buxton and met Swampy for the first time.
Yay!
Whereas the 100, I mean, it arguably tops the lot, because if you cast your mind back to 2002, when clipper cards were still a thing, me and Eleanor, we went on a bit of an adventure. We went around the coast of Britain entirely by local buses. It took 6 weeks and 166 buses to do it. But we did it. We got there in the end. And our final bus on that adventure was the 100 from Warrington back to Manchester.
Wow.
So it's worked out.
Yeah. Yes. We should have started in Warrington then and come back to Manchester. That would have worked better, wouldn't it, I suppose?
Arguably. But we're doing all right, aren't we?
Yeah. We're just past the Crescent. There's the old fire station on your left, isn't there? And Salford Uni on your right. And you've got the really forgettable train station that is Salford Crescent, and then you hit Salford Precinct.
You do, or as it's now officially called, Salford Shopping Centre.
Isn't
it? Indeed.
Does it still have the sign on the block of flats which points downwards with a big arrow which says Salford Shopping City here?
I think it does, yeah.
No, I don't. No, it doesn't, because they've been cladded, because they've gentrified the flats for students. The beautiful thing about those flats are indeed that my grandparents lived in them, well, for most of their lives. Eddie Coleman Court, all named after the Busby Babes, and that wonderful pub, the Flatiron.
To mention, because we do go on it very briefly, the East Lancs Road. The East Lancs Road, it is the first intercity highway ever built in Britain.
Really?
Yes, between Liverpool and Salford. And it was opened, it was with such fanfare, that we got King George V himself to cut the ribbon on it. So there you go. The East Lancs has got history. And they started off back in the olden days. They were enlightened people in some ways, not in others, but they were in some ways. These big main roads that they built, they had cyclepaths along the side of them, but they eventually all got scrapped because they got widened for more cars rather than encouraging people to get on the bicycles and whatnot. And yeah, so people calling now for bike lanes, we used to have them 70, 80 years ago. But yeah, we don't then.
Well, we had trams and got rid of them, and then we've spent about $5 billion of reintroducing the things we got rid of in the first place. I mean, it's there were, as you say, people were quite clever in them days. I mean, talking of roads and wide roads, you know the road going up towards Altrincham Golf Club? Massive, big, massive, massive road, passed through Timpley, and then it just going all the way down towards Altrincham. The reason why it's that wide is because it was used as an alternative runway in case a plane couldn't land at Ringway Airport. They built it that wide that they would actually be able to get aircraft onto that road as a relief.
Is it still available as a relief runway? Because that's
not quite.
That'd be quite frightening, wouldn't it?
What's really interesting, down the entire strip, they're all bungalows, which would make sense because basically
the wing could clear the roof.
Yeah.
Well, that is genius.
Weren't people clever?
They were. That's genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Birke, we're passing Hope Hospital, and then we hit Eccles.
We do.
That's not very nice. Leave Eccles alone. What's he done to you?
It's all right. They can go to Hope Hospital straight after. It's fine. It's fine.
Exactly. Well, one thing we do need to say about Eccles cakes is the one thing it's famous for, really, and that is the Eccles cake.
You've literally just said the one thing Eccles cake is famous for is, of course, what? The Eccles cake.
It's Eccles.
I'll start again.
No, keep that.
No, I'll leave that in. That is brilliant. Well, that's a saying.
Ben,
yeah.
One thing we definitely need to...
I'm not letting you have it. I'm not letting you have it. I'm keeping it in. Go on.
The one thing we need to say about Eccles cakes is that they're from Eccles.
That's right.
Well, Eccles cakes, Ben, I mean, this is an absolute culinary tragedy, this. They do not have protected geographical status. So, fair enough, they're made in Hardwick. That's all right, because it's within a certain radius of where they originated, over in Eccles, of course. But I went down to Penzance once upon a time, and I went to a bakery there, and we saw an Eccles cake unlike anything we'd ever seen before. It was like a bin lid, absolutely huge thing. And, well, Eccles cake enthusiasts will be cowering when they hear this, but it was dusted in icing sugar.
Oh.
An Eccles cake. Can you believe that? Absolutely awful. Well, and when we get into
what makes a good Eccles cake then, other than it being made in Hardwick?
Well, loads of flies in it.
That's need the main ingredient
you can fit in. And then you need flaky pastry. It's one of the few things I'll eat with flaky pastry. I don't like it because it gets in my beard and it gives me beard druff, which isn't what anyone needs, is it?
No.
But
Beard druff.
Yeah. I'm having that. Yeah. Go
on. Did you say beard druff?
Beard druff. Yeah. Flaky bits in your beard. Now, what I think had happened here is they'd got it muddled with a Charlie cake.
A lot of people get confused between an Eccles cake and a Charlie cake. Can you clear this confusion up now, Birke?
Well, there's also a sad cake as well, which is similar to a Charlie cake. Now, a sad cake's from Burnley and Blackburn, that kind of way, but they're a bit bigger than a Charlie cake, which is about the same size in diameter as a Eccles cake, but they're a bit thinner. They're made from short crust pastry. An Eccles cake is made from flaky pastry. That's a fact. You can't change it. And so that's what I think happened in Penzance. They just got completely confused and ended up making a giant sad cake or a giant Charlie cake. But, you know, they've got Cornish pasties.
Wouldn't it be fantastic? And I just had a great idea. Well, I've had an idea.
You've had an idea. Well, we'll be the judge.
I'm not sure if it's an idea. Yes. I'm thinking, because this obviously is a magical route, we've already established, you know, the likes of Engels and Coronation Street and Vimto. I mean, this has got everything. At specific stops, wouldn't it be fantastic if, A, somebody got on the bus pretending to be someone from the olden days, famous, like, or B, someone got on the bus and gave you a cup of hot Vimto, or when you got to Eccles, someone got on the bus and there was a plate of Eccles cakes for people. And specifically all the way, wherever something happened that was famous, you'd get either someone doing poetry. So what then?
I was going to say, because after Eccles, you hit Barton, the home of the swinging bridge. You could just bring on a swinging bridge, couldn't you, onto the bus? An entire bridge. I was going to say that we've stumbled across a bit of poetry with regards to the 100 bus, because you mentioned the East Lancs Road. Obviously, the 100 bus crosses the Manchester Ship Canal. So the world's first highway and the world's first inland canal to Salford.
Not only that. An aerodrome, which you touched on a moment ago, now called City Airport.
Yes.
For some reason.
City International Airport.
Whatever it's called. Barton Aerodrome, innit? That was the UK's first municipal airport.
Well, there you go.
And if you study in physics at Salford University, this is an actual fact. If you were studying physics at Salford University, you were enabled to get your pilot's license from Barton Aerodrome because it was part of the course. And you'd actually become a pilot whilst doing your physics degree in Salford.
Berkey, is anything interesting about the Barton Swing Aqueduct?
Nope.
Good. Moving on then. to the Trafford Centre. Well.
Way before it was open, we went, this is in 1995, possibly early 1996, we went on a geography field trip to what was then known
Dumplington,
which they had to change that for marketing reasons.
I was going to say though, Berkey, because we mentioned Salford Precinct and their new name, the Trafford Centre, the original name for it, wasn't it going to be Dumplington Precinct?
Something like that.
It was, wasn't it?
Something awful.
I don't think it is awful to call it Dumplington Precinct.
It would have been great, wouldn't it? But also terrible.
Why?
My nanny used to make great dumplings, by the way.
Why would Dumplington Precinct be a terrible name for an international destination like the Trafford Centre?
It's not a precinct for a start.
Well, what would you call it?
I'd call it a shopping mall.
But that's what a precinct is, isn't
it? No, why is this in there? Stop it. Now, stop. This is my show. This is my show. And certain things will be left in and certain things will be taken out. If anyone uses, refers to that shopping mall, it's a shopping precinct or a shopping centre. It's simple. We're Mancunians or Lancastrians. We Eccles cake, not the size of bin lids, but small and fruity and made from short crust pastry or indeed flaky pastry that doesn't give you beard fluff. But we do not, and we will never have shopping malls. It's a disgrace.
Anyway,
it's a shopping centre. From precinct.
From the precinct at Dumplington, you go to, is it called Dumplington Keys or something like that? It's where the old JJB Soccer Dome is. And you head to the home.
No, is he gone? Old JJB Soccer Dome?
No, I think it's called something else now. So
it's still there, but you can't think of the sponsors.
No, I've not played five-a-side football in a long time. And then you hit Salford Red Devils at that point.
You do. I went to the Class of 92 game there, you know.
Did you? How was it?
Yeah. It's all right. That Paul Scholes fellow's quite good at football.
Is he? I've heard that.
Yeah, I noticed that. He was half decent. But what happened there was, I was helping out on Radio Manchester that day. So I'd been there all afternoon doing bits and bobs and helping get stuff set up. And the commentary team that night was Jack Dearden and Danny Webber. And at half-time, Danny Webber goes off to get a cup of tea. And he goes into the bowels of the stadium. And the game's getting ready to kick off for the second half. And Jack goes, "Hey, where's Danny Webber gone? He's meant to be here doing his commentary."
Yeah, Berkey's one and only accent every week. Not only is he a commentator.
Is Jack with us now? Is Jack here now? I thought that was Jack. Is that not Jack? Sorry.
No. He's poured a pint in Huddersfield in his local pub. Because basically, at the moment, he's a...
Oh, I thought that was the PA announcer at Silverlands in Buxton. Was that not the same guy?
He's a pub landlord. He's also a radio commentator. This man is brilliant. Yes, everywhere. Wherever Berkey goes, he's always there, it seems.
So anyway, Jacko's like, where's Danny Webber? And I went, he's just down there, and he's got a kit on. And he brought him on for the second half. He bumped into Gary Neville at half-time and said, oh, look, everyone's sort of half-dead out there. We need your help. Will you join us, Webbs? And he went, have you got any boots?
No problem. I could get boots on.
He borrowed a pair of boots off someone. And went on the bench, came on after about 10 minutes of the second half and carried on. And was like, well, there's that mystery solved. So, yeah, it was an odd game. What's he called? Robbie Savage went into a challenge with Richard Edgell and missed the ball. They both missed the ball, actually. And then they started pegging it after it. And Richard Edgell, not the fastest footballer ever, and he was about 34, 35 at the time, and he absolutely skinned Robbie Savage, who just fell to the ground out of breath. It was a joy to see. And Sam Maitley came on, actually, in the second half of Salford and looked absolutely mustard. But he was playing against people who were 40-odd years old at the time. So, you know, but he was a good player at the time, Sam Maitley.
So from the stadium there, not far from Barton Aerodrome, you head into Earlham and Cadishead, and you start hitting rugby league country now, don't you? Because there's a few rugby league clubs down there and that. Is there anything else to add other than Cadishead Rhinos, rugby league or stuff like that?
Ben, this is very, very important. Last week on the show, you mentioned that the bus goes past Earlham's ground. Although you said Earlham Town, and it's not Earlham Town, it's Earlham FC. I should have picked you up at the time, but I didn't.
Sorry.
But of course, Earlham FC is where FC United picked up Tim Kinsella from. Made his debut against Curzon Ashton, a 1-0 defeat, if memory recalls. Cadishead is where Ray Lowry was from. He's not related to LS Lowry, but he was also an artist. And he designed the sleeve for London Calling by The Clash. He didn't take the photograph of Strummer smashing the guitar up, but he did put design together and all that, and he's Cadishead's most famous son, I believe. So there you go.
There we go. So
we've got Chat Moss. One of the largest pieces of peat bog in the country.
Oh.
Just to the north there of Cadishead and Earlham.
Because just to the north of Cadishead, you've got we mentioned the Ship Canal and the East Lancs Road. You've also got the first...
Sorry, the what?
The Ship Canal... and the East Lancs Road, but you've also got the first proper railway, haven't you? And that crosses all that swampland there.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert Louis Stevenson, and he tried to float it across Chat Moss. They had to float it in the end because he tried sinking all the railway lines to fill it up with aggregate and all that, but the aggregate kept floating away in all the peat and boggy stuff. And so he floated it in the end, and it was another... tremendous piece of Victorian
forward planning.
If any of my usual listeners are actually listening, this used to be my show, but apparently it's been hijacked. Ben's actually researching Berkey's part of the show and doesn't really care about my part. I mean, he just says, what are we going to do? And then he just welcomes, and then he the look on his face, because we do this value where we can each see each other, although Ben, for some reason, no, he just likes to sit in the dark.
In the shadow. The light's on.
Every week. Yeah, but you say this every week. I mean, you sit in the dark drinking fizzy water. It's as if you're being chastised and made to do it in the corner. But as soon as Berkey comes up, his eyes light up, ladies and gentlemen. His eyes light up, and it's like, oh! And he thinks to himself, I've got research. Me and Berkey can converse, and we can discuss, you know, talk about railways and the like. And then he'll say, right, when you go, Berkey, he'll say, right, let's wrap it up, Wompy. Watch your song, bye now. That's it, that's what he does. I mean, it's all nice when you're on.
I did enjoy my theme tune last week, by the way. Thank you very much, Ben.
I did mention that, but you know, but I mean,
did you see the Sam Ashton thing I put in there as well when you did your Trotters joke, Swamper? I did the old Vic and Bob. I did the Vic and Bob thing, Shooting Stars, the tumbleweed. I was laughing about that for hours because there's not much going on in my life at the moment. So that was funny.
I was just in bed and I did laugh off.
The highlight for today for me is finding this.
What is that?
This has been on the show several times over the years.
What is that?
This is my Berkey. You like this? Oh, my North Korea.
Oh, wow!
Underground map of their metro system.
I'm glad we've got a station called Red Star.
In a pen.
That's brilliant.
It's incredible. The golden fields under construction. It's one of them.
Classic station.
Classic.
Yeah, classic. Under construction. Yes. Anyway, are we going to get to Warrington?
We're nearly there now. Warrington, Berkey, finish the route off. What delights have we got on the way in?
Actually, this show is as long as it actually takes to get to Warrington. It's an hour and 50 minutes long already.
Ben,
I feel like I've lived it.
Ben from Caddy said you've got a gentle descent really there into Warrington.
Gentle descent?
There's not a lot to see. Warrington has got a tourist information centre.
Has it really?
Why are you going on your holidays there? I do not know.
Gulliver's World, Berkey.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, fair point. Yeah, yeah.
So famed for Mr. Smith's, wasn't it? Where the Hitman and Her used to perform.
Actually, one thing in Warrington's favour is that it's got a lot of really nice street art. I don't think it's into everyone's taste, but you've got the main shopping street, and it's like a boulevard of trees going through there, arranged into a certain formation. Then you've got the Skittles, which are these sort of plinthy things in a big circle. They're pretty cool. But Warrington bus station, the new one, is wonderful. Ben, see where you're going in a trice.
Would you describe it as Warrington's Trafalgar Square?
No. It's devoid of pigeons, but you can find out where your next bus is going from very easily. There's lots of LED displays there. There's a news agent, and I believe there's a cafe there too. It's all right.
Berkey, would you recommend the 100 bus then if for example, the 199 was more busy than normal and the 184, would you go, let's get on the 100? I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh, no.
Well,
it's the correct answer. Well, basically, you could walk it quicker. I mean, how many from Manchester to Warrington is about 19 miles, isn't it?
About that.
An hour and 50 minutes on a bus. Is it a double decker or is it a single deck? Because, I mean, the thing is, I mean, that's a lot. That takes a long time.
Swampit, you're taking the wrong attitude there towards bus travel. It's not about the speed of your passage. It's
about
I've never said, no one's ever told me I've got a speedy passage, but go on, carry on. The question is, Berkey, then.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's one thing about a bus route, and there's one, you get on a bus, and the what's the name from Stockport, the one that goes down Hyde Road, goes from Stockport, goes down Reddish Road, and then 203.
Yep.
Well, if you've not been on the 203 before, that's a long journey. I mean, never make the mistake of going back to Stockport on the 203, because it takes you twice as long as the 192. But what it does also do is just something that not many buses do, and if you've not actually been a part of this before, it can quite confuse you. It can quite scary when the bus stops and the driver gets off. And just walks off.
Yeah.
And you're all sat on the bus going, what's happened? The driver's got off. Where's he going? What's he doing? What's going on? Are we here? Are we stuck here forever? And then you actually do end up waiting what seems to be an eternity for the new driver. Now, an hour and 50 minutes seems to me it's going to be two or three drivers at least.
No, it just goes round Earlham and Eccles about
just one driver.
Yeah.
So his round journey is nearly 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good God, he must be bored out of his brains. Or her brains.
Well, yeah, probably. But, you know, it's a job, isn't it?
And on that note, that is the end for this little segment. I say little. It's taken about an hour to record. But a big thank you to Berkey for joining us. Berkey, unfortunately, B&M Bargains don't sell tombolas, so I've been unable to get my hands on one. So is there a particular bus route you want to discuss?
Hold on. What were we going to do? We're still doing it, Ben. You've got a chance to redeem yourself for next week by using this thing called the internet to make sounds, and it sounds like a tombola.
I did a sound effect thing, but it didn't sound like a tombola. It just sounded weird. It sounded like a slot machine.
Well, okay, the timetable slots? I don't know, but the timetable tombola's staying because it sounds good.
Okay. Berkey, is there an
episode? I'm winding it out. I'm going to pick it out. What is it this week? Oh, wow. It is the number 7.
Oh, the number 7. The classic number 7 that I know all about. Well, there's a problem. Hang on.
Listen, you've got a week to sort it out. We've given you a number. No excuses.
What happens if it doesn't exist anymore?
The thing is, it could be a past bus. We discussed this, didn't we?
Swampy, the number 7, you've chosen a great bus. It starts in Stockport and it ends Ashton-under-Lyne.
Oh, what?
Yay. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry about that. You could have chosen the 3:30. That's much quicker.
It is, yeah. Well,
remember, though, Berkey, it is all about the journey, not about Swampy's passage. So a big thank you, Berkey, for joining us. you have a lovely week, and we'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
Thanks, Ben. Good luck editing it.
Oh, by the way, Berkey, before you go, quickly.
Yeah?
I actually did get a text last week, read a show. Someone did confirm that the 199 does indeed go down the M60. And that was a genuine text I got from a listener.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
I mean, I knew that, but they were just confirming that, yes, just to let you know, indeed, the 199 does go down the M60, and it is indeed a wonderful bus route. Fantastic show. Let Berkey know.
There we go. Berkey, take care.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much, everyone. Bye, Ben. Bye, Swampy.
So, Swampy, I promised you 10 minutes at the end. On your show.
I don't want 2 minutes, Ben. We're done now, aren't we? Let's be honest.
No, we're not. I mean, there's plenty of things. There's lots of things to discuss.
Do you like the arrangement tonight?
We've got a book
on constellations.
Yes.
A field guide to the night sky. Then we've got the Illustrated Medical Dictionary, because it's very expensive healthcare post-Brexit.
Yeah, and it's easy to do operations when they provide the pictures.
That's right, yeah, and they are. There are actually, it's the British Medical Association, BMA, and it does come with pictures, and it's the essential A to Z, quick reference to over 5,000 medical terms. And the great thing is, if we want to actually translate that into actual Irish, we have the Irish Dictionary. And then we have some wild organic medium dry still cider for some reason. Delicious. And then we have the Oxford History of Ireland by R.F. Foster.
There we go.
Wonderful arrangement there.
We'll delve into that next week. But I just wanted to get your thoughts, Swampy, about what's going on in football at the moment. And look at that face. I just thought I'd tee you up. But I'm not going to bother. It's like, I've done my show now, Ben. I want to go. All right.
Well, football, yes. I mean, Union Saint-Gilloise last week played Anderlecht in the Cup. And unfortunately, Anderlecht, well, they won. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying that they deserve to win, but 5 goals normally suggest that perhaps they did. But interesting enough, we played again yesterday, and that bounce back after a poor performance, and again, it's a very good Anderlecht team, has to be said. We had to go out and win yesterday, and they did, and we're now 15 points clear in the division. Looks like promotion is now pretty much cemented, so we look forward to top flight football for next season. As far as UK is concerned, Ben, well, I have to say and applaud 100%, and I think it was absolutely the right thing to say and do, doff my cap to Spennymoor. I thought their statement in regards to the protection of players, protection of supporters, protection for their football club, they themselves even admitted, look, we have a benefactor, so we're not in a position where financially it is causing us huge, huge problems. There are problems, obviously, financially, but not in the same way for other clubs. They said, look, we're not prepared to play, end up playing three games a week. A lot of our players have full-time jobs, and therefore they're going to be going into situations. Some of them might be school teachers, some might be, you know, working wherever or whatever, put themselves at risk. And I think it was an absolute right thing to do. And I wish football clubs didn't have to do such things, because you're a professional football club. I can understand how you can self-isolate, you can protect players, because you work as a unit week in, week out, you spend it pretty much all the time together. But if you're a semi-professional football club that players have other jobs, and they've been expected to go and do those jobs and then expected to play football and then expected to maybe, you know, play three times a week, absolutely ridiculous. It should have been sorted out by now. Even if the finances were in there, put in place now, it's ridiculous to expect everyone to stay at home, not go out, and yet as a footballer, if you're a semi-professional footballer, travel all over the UK for football. I mean, you know, we're just getting the system. It looks like that COVID's not coming to an end, but certainly it's hopefully it's spiked, and with the amount of people being given the vaccination, we're coming out at the end of it. But don't just basically send footballers off because the league says you have to play. Cancel the league now. All the sympathy in the world, but you've got to do so. And you know, those that are advocating continue for me are primarily those teams at the top. But anyway, the song. Well, there's a band there. I mean, I don't know if you heard. It's like guttural singing. Guttural singing. It's singing from the inner part of the body. And a band. They've been around a few years now. They play all their own instruments. When I say their own instruments, they're their native instruments from the country that they're from. And they've hooked up with over the last few years with a number of other bands. I think there's some work with Papa Roach's Entourage. And the band are called The Hu. Their new single, actually, came out in December. And it's Sad But True. And the band, as I say, they're called The Hu, H-U. They're from Mongolia. Check them out. They're pretty cool, actually. Pretty cool.
Well, Swampet, a big thank you for joining us this week. You have a lovely week, my friend. And we'll catch up next week.
I have golf back on the menu.
What is?
Golf.
Have a lovely time going around the golf course. And
Four days of golf. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
See you soon. Wonderful. See you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
All the best. Bye.
This is FC UM Radio, lowbrow radio for a highbrow audience.